You're listening to FC UM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FC UM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! Oh! It's the United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's crucial weekend league encounters with North Ferriby United and Northwich Vixens.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FC UM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FC UM Radio. Later in the show, we'll be hearing if FC United's women's team could make it 3 wins from 3 in the league on Sunday. Plus, very shortly, we'll also be heading to Yorkshire to hear all about FC United's trip to North Ferriby from Saturday afternoon. But before all that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start with good news from FC United's reserve side, Mostyn United, who have started life in Division 2 of the Lancashire and Cheshire League in fine form. Mostyn United currently lead the way, winning 5 of their opening 6 matches, the latest win being a convincing 7-2 victory over Chiltonians on Saturday afternoon. Not such good news, though, for the youth team, who exited the FA Youth Cup on Wednesday evening following a 3-1 defeat after extra time at Prescott Cables. But in better cup news from the men's team from this past week, we're happy to report that the Reds are through to the final qualifying round of the FA Cup, following a heroic display by a 9-man FC United team against Stockport County at Broadhurst Park on Tuesday night.
Great effort there. Corner comes in. Who's on the end of it?
Yeah.
We had an opportunity. It's taken the lead.
Yes.
Tom Greaves, a static defence from Stockport County, and the crowd go absolutely wild. And Tom Greaves is running the goalkeeper where he scores, and FC United take a lead that no one would have predicted. But Stockport County, as I say, they have looked so under the cosh in so many regards. Done all the work, undone everything themselves, and FC take a lead.
And Tom Greaves, 6-yard man. He's there again, little touch on the ball, they couldn't clear it.
You know what, I think I'll have a chip.
So FC United through to the fourth qualifying round, thanks in no small measure to FC United forward and club captain Tom Greaves. On Thursday, Tom joined our very own Swampy on the non-league football show to talk to Caroline Barker about FC United and his own exploits in the third qualifying round against Stockport County.
Before we get to Tuesday then, that first game, that 3-3 before half-time, what was that like?
We came in at half-time, obviously 3-0 down, but nobody thought the game was dead and gone. And obviously made the 3 substitutions. And we've just basically gone for it and taken the game to them and obviously got our reward, yeah.
And then you move on to Tuesday night, and that's the match where you ended up with 9 men.
Yeah, completely different game. 0-0 at half-time, but we'd unfortunately lost 2 players, 2 red cards. One maybe a little bit dubious with the straight red, but the other one, double booking, probably deserved to go, to be honest, and he'll probably admit that himself. But again, we came in at half-time and none of the lads were thinking we were out of the game or anything like that, and we knew that if we again took it to them, then they'd have to come up with something, and we obviously managed to nick a goal and then defended for our lives.
What was that half-time conversation like? I'm saying conversation.
The lads that had been sent off basically held their hands up and said they'd made the mistakes, which is fair enough, and credit to them for doing that. But it was very positive. We knew we were still in the game. We didn't think we were dead and buried. I don't think Stockport looked as confident as what you would think with 2 extra players. So we just went out there and knew that potentially we could be the shock of the round, so to speak, now.
For you as well, to get that goal, where does that rank in your... Is it 96 goals for FC United now?
Yeah, 96, yeah. Closing down on that 100. Yeah, it's right up there. My debut goal was very special, but yeah, it's got to be in the top two or three, I think, yeah.
Swampy, what did that moment sound like for you? What came out of your mouth then?
Well, it was loud, it was noisy, it was predictably a Swampy moment of madness with the calm of just me realising that we'd actually scored the goal. Tom underestimates it himself week in, week out. I mean, the work rate that he puts in, and certainly on Tuesday that showed a I'm sure you won't mind me saying, he's 32 years of age now, but 96 goals for FC United and Manchester. And to nick the goal that we did in as early on as 6 minutes into the second half, it stun-stopped Port County even more. They went on and had 15 corners in that second half, but they just could not get past the defensive duties of all players, Tom included, back defending tremendously well. We hit the crossbar and a great save from their goalkeeper as well. So it wasn't a fluke in any way, shape or form. And it certainly is down to the qualities of the players on the pitch, of which Tom was a massively huge part in that, and scoring a cracking goal.
Was there a point at which you clicked and you thought, hang on, we have got this, we will see this one out?
When I was on the pitch, I was never worried that they was going to score, to be honest. It wasn't until I got subbed off in about 5 minutes to go, and then my nerves kicked in, I started shaking, I'm thinking, oh no, just blow your whistle, referee. So on the pitch, the lads were just focused and I knew the job that we had to do.
So AFC Telford in the next round, again, another of those teams that great support, proper grafting team as well. What do you expect?
To be honest, I think it's been one of our bogey grounds. I don't think I've actually personally ever won at Telford. So again, it's just we'll go there. We'll take the game to them. There's a new confidence around the place, I think, at the minute. I think the fans are starting to get the buzz back again. The lads are all starting to get to know each other. It's pretty much a brand new team. So yeah, just getting that FC United feeling back again.
How tough was it? Because I know we've kind of ridden it through with Swampy telling us about the down days of getting new players in and trying to sort things. And you yourself, sent out on loan, could have been sent out and I could have missed that game.
Yeah, there was big changes in the summer. And it's obviously sad to see some of your close friends go that have been there for, like myself, a good 3, 4, 5 seasons. So it was big changes. But when we first got back in pre-season, I was confident with the lads that Maggie had brought in. So it's just taken a little bit of time for the squad to gel. For myself, I've obviously found myself out of the team a little bit. Jason Gilchrist's been playing the number 9, and you can't fault the lad. He's great work rate. He's a great finisher. So I've no complaints there with that. It was just a case of me wanting to go somewhere and get some games to basically win my shirt back and get the chance to go break that goal record.
Now just 4 away from the 100. No pressure, eh, Swampy?
No, not at all. But listen, Tom, just a couple of things really I want to ask you. I know as a footballer, you're very magnanimous and, shy away from the limelight, so to speak. But with the dual registration, did it hurt really as a player being sent out? I mean, I know you've only played one game for Ramsbottom at this moment in time. But did it hurt you? Did it hurt your pride a little bit? Or did you think it was the right thing to do? And the next question would be is, and dare I ask this, where are you playing this Saturday? Are you playing for FC or are you playing for Ramsbottom?
At the minute, I don't actually know. Ramsbottom have got the FA Trophy, so I wouldn't like to be cup-tied for that for FC. So I'm hoping to be with FC. But we'll see. We've got training tonight, so I'll have the conversation with Carl and we'll go from there. Regarding the move initially, no, it's not hurting any of my pride or anything like that. I don't think it's any secret that everybody knows where I want to be playing my football. And I knew personally that I couldn't give the manager, the team, the fans my 100% if I wasn't match fit and match sharp. Obviously, when I've had the conversation with him, I'm hoping that he says, right, you're going to be playing anyway, so you don't need to go anywhere. You're going to get your minutes with us. But that wasn't the case. Jason's been playing well and scoring, so I couldn't grumble with that. So no, it was me that went to Carl and asked basically to go out and get some games, and it was Ramsbottom because of the lads I know there.
Yeah, of course. Team. Well, talking of managers, my last question would be: you're 32 years of age now. I know you've got a lot of football left in you, but I know you run a coaching. You've taken time out actually off your coaching this afternoon to talk to us. I mean, is management that something that interests you, or player management or getting involved? I know you're doing your badges and so on and so forth. Is that something that you want to do long term, perhaps with FC United under Carl or at another club?
Yeah, I'm definitely the type of person who would regret not giving something a go. So I don't know whether I'll be a good manager. I don't know whether I've got that side in me. But if I didn't give it a go, then I would be disappointing in myself. So yeah, it's something that I will look to do. Like I say, hopefully, I think I've got a couple more years left in these legs yet, but yeah, definitely something that I would look into in the future.
Tom Greaves there speaking to Caroline Barker and Swampy on the Non-League show last week. And a big thank you to the Non-League Football Show for that interview. To the weekend now, and FC United returned to league action on Saturday afternoon as third bottom FC travelled east to take on bottom of the table North Ferriby United. To hear now if the Reds could take all three crucial points in this one, it's over to the FC Live team to find out.
And good afternoon to you, Ben. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon.
So, FC Live brought you back to StructureCoding.com now, Joe Ramin. It's now time for team news.
It needs a jingle.
Stop interrupting the jingle. Team news. Okay. Are we ready?
There's a team sheet for you.
Oh, thank you. That's
getting better at that answer.
It's printed out well.
I'm like a walking vidi printer.
So not to go over old ground, Paul. But
let's go over old ground then.
Here we go.
Last week at Edgley Park, me and you had a little mini rant at half time.
We did, and it worked.
And it did work. Yes. To an extent that we were talking.
We should have been in the dressing room.
You both spat your dummy out and stamped your feet.
We never stamped our dummy.
Never
stamped the dummy out. What we were saying was we've not got a settled 11. Well, we've got two new signings starting today. We've got Sefton Gonzalez and Tom Walker making their debuts for FC United this afternoon. But the good news as well is that Tom Greaves is starting. And, well, why wouldn't he be starting?
Very good point.
Scott Kay is captain this afternoon. And that brings us on to your homework, Paul, was regards to discipline.
It's homework.
Homework.
He's got homework now. Power mad, hasn't he?
Scotty Kay, Matty Hughes, and Michael Connor, they've collected quite a few bookings, haven't they, and sending offs over the last.
Yeah, I mean, with the total of 40 yellows, you can break that down. Scott Kay's got 6, Connor's got 5 now.
See, that's the problem, you see.
Hughes has got 6.
Has Connor got 6 or 7, as you say.
Yeah.
But he's got a name which basically, his first name is, his surname's a first name. And that's wrong, in my opinion. If it was O'Connor, fine. If he's just called Connor, and that's just the wrong name to have for a surname, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Just, okay.
Want to get off of my chest.
But on the bench, we've got Jordan Fagbola, Connor McCarthy, Mike Connor, Joel Senior, and Tim Kinsella. But it looks like we're going 4-4-2 with Tom Greaves and Sefton Gonzalez.
Oh, you want you to what? We're going 4-4-2?
Yeah.
You think so?
I think so.
Oh, well.
And we're playing North Ferriby.
4-4-1-1.
And we're playing North Ferriby United.
Or Jim Gaddon 4-2-4-4-2-2-2-4.
Doesn't matter. It's game over for us anyway.
Yes.
North Ferriby United are struggling this season, aren't they? So it's banana skin written all over it.
Well, when you're bottom of the division. I don't think it's banana skin all over it, to be honest. I think it will be a competitive game of football. I think it's two teams that are struggling for league form. And FC United coming into a little bit of form in the FA Cup. So let's hope we can utilise what we've done in the last 2 or 3 weeks and bring it into league form. As you say, they are struggling at the bottom of the division at the moment, North Ferriby, 5 points so far this season. And, you know, it's a team that are going the opposite way from once they were a couple of three seasons ago. You know, I was at Wembley commentating when they beat Wrexham.
Saved! Good commentary, that.
It was, yeah.
Good commentary.
You know, when they beat Wrexham in a penalty shootout at Wembley and, you know, riding high. And unfortunately, the story now. But in fairness, in a way, it's great to be back here. Ball at halfway line. But it's won by Ferriby. The ball flicks over and there's an opportunity. And there should have been an opportunity now for the home team. But FC's keeper comes out, does well. And in all fairness, I don't think there was a real belief in the Ferriby centre-forward there to really put pressure on. But FC United now will take advantage of that. It's a lovely ball by Irwin. Plays it to Walker. Walker now. Goal side, can he get the ball into the back of the net? Yes, he can. His debut. It's a goal for FC United on 42 minutes. And it was all about the ball. What a ball by Irwin. He played it with the outside of his boot. And Walker with loads of room there. He had the whole goal to aim for on his left-hand side. Straight through the goalkeeper. 1-0. And well, the boring 0-0 draw is no longer.
Well, he's had a bit of a difficult opening first half, Walker. But fair play to him. He got inside the box there. Used his left foot. And he picked his spot. A really classy finish.
Well, classy finish, but it was all about Irwin and the ball from Irwin. It was absolutely
the vision
superb.
Of Irwin is critical to us these days. I mean, Irwin's turning out to be a very critical player for us, isn't he?
As an opportunity now, though, for the visit through the penalty. There's an opportunity. It should be 1-1. It will be 1-1. It is 1-1.
Oh, it's raining goals.
Well, the kiss of death is Paul Hinson, who basically said 2 minutes before the end of this 0-0 half-time, and we've got 2 goals in 2 minutes.
Well, that was a way to encourage some activity, to be honest. There you go.
So here is an opportunity, though, for North Ferriby. 10 yards outside the penalty area, or actually 6 yards outside the penalty area, so FC's defensive wall, back into their own area. They shuffle forward as this ball comes. It's a decent ball. Oh, what a goal. What a goal. What a free kick by Steve Brogan, the skipper. And he's whips it beyond FC's goalkeeper, whips it round the wall, and FC go from 1-0 up to losing here by 2-1. Plenty of time for FC to get back into this game, because they haven't started yet, Paul, haven't they, the second half?
Well, again, you know, you can trace a lot of our goals conceded this season down to fouls and resulting free kicks and stuff like that. And yet again, we concede a foul in a very bad position, and it's capitalised on by the opposition.
Well, FC United, Joe Logan coming off and bringing on Tim Kinsella. Wouldn't have been the choice I would have made, to be honest. I would have bought more direct player, maybe with McCarthy, who can score goals as well. But they have an opportunity. Kinsella now plays a nice ball out wide right to Senior. Senior's ball into the penalty. It's a decent one with purpose. And Tom Greaves.
Oh, what a goal.
What a goal from Greaves. A volley from 8 yards out under the side of the crossbar. Hits the goalkeeper's head and bounces in. But it was all about the shot. It was a good link-up play between Kinsella and Senior. And there was the man, Tom Greaves again.
Number 97.
97. There's a ball at the halfway line, and Kay does really well. Plays it to Walker. Walker through the middle now. Jinking one way and another way. Plays up to Gonzalez. A 1-2 with Gonzalez. Back to Walker. Inside now, the ball played to Irwin. Irwin on the edge of the penalty area. Can he have a shot from there? Yes, he can from distance. Oh, oh my word. Oh, my goodness. What a worldie from Irwin there. You gave him half a yard. He took it 10 yards forward, and he's just leathered it into the top corner. And what a quality player. What a quality goal. And unfortunately, there's a number of scouts here. So that was a rubbish goal. It was no good at all.
It was a fluke.
Absolute fluke. What a phenomenal goal.
He scored one and made one today. And every game he seems to come up with something that is out of the ordinary.
Well, the 28-year-old, absolutely superb. What a finish. Can FC United now stay resolute, stay tight in their defence, and get three valuable points here at Ferriby? Free kick. Steve Broker to take it. Can they defend this ball better than they have for most of the afternoon? The ball towards the back post, and it's won by an FC Sherwood. It'll be picked up by Bobby Johnson. Johnson there plays it in turn, though, inside to Simon Russell. Russell back to where the free kick was taken, and Steve Broker will chip it in again. It should be a free header for Tom Greaves, who wins the header. And it's back with a green shirt, though. The hoops of the North Ferriby team with the number 16. It is Rozonka. Down the byline he goes. Cuts inside. Can he get a decent ball in? It's a near post ball. An opportunity. First time shot. Oh, what a great goal. What a great equaliser. But great ball down the right-hand side, and some great football. And great, great crossing by the number 16 substitute, Callum Rozonka. And then who was on the end of it? It was the number 9, was it? It was indeed.
Yeah.
He's got second of the game. And that was a great finish. That was Tom Greaves-esque. He got his body in the right position and he swiveled with the ball. And it was beyond FC's goalkeeper. And what we can say is there's not been a bad goal in this game. But there's been some dreadful defending.
I can't say we've felt secure at 3-2 at any stage.
North Ferriby United 3. FC United Manchester 3. Number of players down on the deck, because that's been a hard game, hard fought game from both teams. A lot of tired legs out there. But the question is, have FC United thrown away 2 points here or regained 1 point, Paul? That's the question.
I think what we've seen this afternoon is a match between two relegation haunted sides, to be honest, and it's been a real battle between two struggling teams. If we take away the FA Cup for a moment, we came here with high hopes of beating the bottom side, but we've not been able to do it, which kind of puts us in our place.
Well, you're dead right, and you know, some of the supporters hearing that the Leamington score, but again, we can't afford the teams that are just slightly above us to get any further away. And Leamington, as I say, you know, well, done really well. There's a little bit of arguing on the pitch amongst a couple of the players, but
I think there's a lot of hard work to be done behind the scenes if we're going to improve our league position quickly.
Well, in all fairness, I can't really see it. The goalkeepers today, I think both can be pleased with their performances. Both made some tremendous saves in the game. But the one thing, you know, FC haven't been at the races in the league, and it shows today against a very, very much a struggling North Ferriby team. And, well, perhaps, you know, the 3 points should have been gained here this afternoon, but they're not. And the work rate was not in question. The introduction of Sefton Gonzalez, who started this afternoon, he's had a game. You can see what he can offer. However, we haven't got the 3 points. You know, we're going away with a single point, and it's in that respect, it's a little bit disappointing. Oh, I'm going to stand up, actually.
I wish Emily or Roy were here. I don't know what to say, to be honest.
Well, you were,
thank you. Good night.
You were very frustrated in large part of that second half because the huge gaping holes and gaps.
We're told. Well, you've been commentating all the way through this game, and we know how close games are here at Grange Lane, and it's because of the size of the pitch, and it's therefore very surprising that the holes and the space that was made available, especially to Ferriby in the last 15 minutes of that half there, where they were given the freedom of the middle third, pretty much, on too many occasions in my life.
Is that middle third or middle earth?
Middle third.
I say, it's not Lord of the Rings.
And
because a couple of their players rang around us.
We know North Ferriby going into this game are lacking in confidence. They've only scored one goal here.
One goal all season.
One goal here all season. And against a more capable, confident side, FC would have come a cropper this afternoon and been lucky to get a point.
Yeah, but Ben, we've come up against the team. You can only play against the team in front of you. You can't turn around and say if we played against another team that was slightly better in the division that we've got battered, because we would have played maybe a little bit differently. We've got a result.
Well, I know against Stockport or York we would have played
we've got far better. We've got
I know who we're playing against.
I know
that, and that's the problem.
The time of FC going anywhere and winning convincingly are over. My friend, you've got to understand that we're not going
to
go
away.
We're not going to go away and batter teams. We can play some good football occasionally. We're an average team, third from bottom for a reason, because we're not good enough at this moment in time. The chopping and changing hasn't helped, isn't working. I think we're third from bottom still, aren't we? We're not second from bottom, unless Gainsborough have gone above us on goal difference.
I don't think they would have done. The difference was three. I think we're still 20th.
I think we are. Listen, we've got. Masses of improvement to do. Carl knows that, the management team know that, and the vast majority of supporters, if they're open and honest and truthful, know that as well. Is it going to change? Is it going to improve? Aside from the FA Cup, I mean, and the only reason why that FA Cup game was so dramatic and so wonderful to be a part of was because of the nine men of FC United and Manchester and the way they worked.
And you got a pantomime villain,
it wasn't a brilliant. It wasn't a brilliant performance in the respect of footballing, but we dug it out today. You go out there, you think, can we win the game? Can we win a game of football? Well, we can't. And the problem is, at this moment in time, we're not good enough. And we've got some very, very good players out there. But unfortunately, I don't think Carl knows his best team. I think it was a very, very strange decision to bring Kinsella on.
Right.
Incredibly strange decision.
We had a big, good chat at Stockport at Edgley Park last week, didn't we, Paul? And we had a good chat at half-time here. Because we've got two new debutants playing this afternoon as well. And these changes are happening because of decisions being made to change the team. And
well, unless McCarthy,
you can't.
For me, unless McCarthy's injured today, he should have started. And I would have started him up top with Tom Greaves.
I think there are two things. One is there are times when we drop back defensively, but we don't put challenges in.
Yes.
And we allow people to collect the ball from deep, clearances from deep, and turn. And we just drop him back and just not putting anything in to win the ball, which means that somebody's actually looking to pick a pass then, which is not doing us any favours. And the other point I'd like to make maybe is the fact that one of the issues we seem to be talking about occasionally this season is how many times are we rolling the dice and changing the team? And does there come a point where you have to stop rolling the dice and you have to start thinking, yeah, some the core of these players are going to have to start regularly, because otherwise we're never going to get a settled team and an understanding that means that when we go 3-2 up with 15 minutes to go like we did today, we're not a bunch of strangers wondering how we're going to hang on to it.
It's a very, very good point and a well made point, and I completely agree with you. The one thing you do tend to find, unfortunately, when you aren't down at the bottom of the division, is that you never got a settled team. But the problem is, We haven't had a proper settled team from the beginning of the season.
I'll say this. Right, it's no good saying, you know, this. You started this broadcast by saying we are where we are, and unfortunately, the league table doesn't lie. We beat York.
Ben.
We beat Stockport County with 9 men. We nearly beat Southport. We're not a poor team.
The players this afternoon have come here based upon a good performance with 9 men against a very, very average Stockport County, in my opinion. And Jim Gannon got his tactics completely wrong. He won't agree with me in that, but that's my opinion. And, you know, from a manager who had 55 minutes to actually put a goal in against FC for 9 men, wasn't able to do so. They come here today full of confidence, and in all fairness, the game itself, there was some good parts of football and good passage of play.
Well,
Steve Irwin was tremendous.
Let's talk about the two goals in particular. I mean, Greaves' overhead kick was he scored a similar goal against Salford, didn't he, in that pre-season friendly? And Irwin's strike, wow, that was check that one out on the highlights reel later on.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. After the match, Ben caught up with the FC United first team management.
So, we're now joined by Darren Lyons and Carl Margeson, and this place has been notorious for tight, close games. We've never seen 6 goals in a match before. What's your take on it?
Two teams trying to win a match. I think people, I've said to the lads there, people will look at this with no real knowledge, thinking that two teams down the bottom and it's going to be a poor game. I think that's been flipped on its head. It was a very entertaining game by two teams, scrapping for points, and thought there was some good football played and some fantastic goals as well. So anybody who's come along and paid the money can go home with a smile on their face, knowing that they've seen a good game of football.
Yeah, just echo that. Some of the goals are fantastic, and they were top draw.
Well, Irwin's was beaut, wasn't it?
Yeah, as soon as it left his foot, I think it was Cooks on the bench who said to Stevie Irwin, and it was just a postage stamp, wasn't it? So
you know, you look at the free kick that they've scored from, you know, no goalkeeper saying that. Although we think we should probably have defended the third goal better in the wide area. It's good skill from the lad, and you know, it's a good run from the kid to get across somebody, you know. So yeah, you've got to recognise good players as well as poor play, and I think there is more good play today than we saw a poor play.
I mean, Ferriby coming into this game, I think they've only scored one goal here. Were you surprised with how they were? I mean, the number 8 on the left-hand side, he looked pretty nifty.
No, I wasn't, no, because I went to see him against Stockport the other week, and although it ended up 4-1, it was 2-0 at half-time, and I must say Ferriby had more chances than Stockport on the day, up to the half-time period when we left. So we knew that they could carve out openings. It wasn't kick and rush. It wasn't a big hoof. You know, they cut Stockport open a few times. I think the number 8 had 2 one-on-ones, and the two lads up front, the central lad and the lad who played right hand side, both had good efforts. It was well saved by the keeper. So we knew that was going to be a threat, and you know, it's one that when you take everything into account, we've come here, although we're disappointed not to take all 3 points with the week that we've had. You know, it's credit to the players that they've been able to raise themselves again, getting the lead and then being pegged back like we have done. It shows another strength in their characters, because I think everybody after Tuesday night would have been a little bit mentally drained, and physically as well. We knew we were coming here, long journey as it is, and a team that's fighting for the lives. So we're disappointed to a certain extent, because we were in front 3 times. But on the flip side of the coin, I'm sure it'll be it's another one that keeps us going on our unbeaten run.
And we had Sefton Gonzalez Walker. Tom Walker today, plus as well. It feels like Tom Greaves is a new signing. He's 2 goals now off the Rory Patterson record of 99. He's helping, isn't he?
Yeah, the lads will tell you it's a squad thing, and Tom will be the first one to tell you that. You know, credit to him, he came to us and said he wanted to get games and get fitter. That's why he went on a dual reg at Ramy. And yeah, he's only had that 190 minutes under his belt, but he's come back with a bit of a burning desire to do this goal thing or whatever the case may be. But He's done well. He's bagged two. He's a fox in the box, as you call him. That's what he's good at. He's shown that against Stockport. We don't expect him to run into channels and chase full backs down and things like that. But we've got other lads in the team that can do that. So he's definitely a string to the bow, which all the lads are, to be fair.
Now, there were some substitutions made in that game. Just to clear a couple of things up, Fagbola didn't start and didn't come on. Is he injured, or is that just a decision you made?
No, it's a decision we've made. You know, we've got the Telford game next week. So that's one that was in the back of our minds, and it's good for Jordan because I think since he's come to the club, he's been ever present. Yeah. So it's one for him to just sit down. He's a sensible lad, and he'll assess that situation with watching games and look to improve himself. So no problem there.
And McCarthy.
Yeah, Connor was. It's just the way the games went. It would have been one for me to put Connor on, possibly for Sefton. Because I didn't think he'd last 90 minutes, and he very nearly didn't. But Tom Walker, who's a young lad again, who hasn't had a great deal of football, was showing a little sign of fatigue. So we thought it best in with the situation as it was to try and shore things up in the engine room.
Now, where are we at the moment? Because we've got the cup, obviously, and the superb performances we've had in the last round. But at the moment, we're third bottom now in the division. I think Leamington got the win today against Salford. What's your mood at the moment with regards to the league form? Is it just like ticking over and see?
Yeah, fantastic. You know, league form, cup form, it's all part of one thing, and that's building on what we've started. You know, there was always going to be, when you've got the amount of new players that we've brought in, there's always going to be a settling in period where they're finding out about each other. Hopefully they've done that now. There'll still be things along the way, but they've done that now, and it's one for us to build on. Today would have been without a shadow of a doubt, a few games earlier, possibly two or three weeks ago, that would have been a bit of a nightmare for us, we've got to say, because we're on the floor. But the lads have shown a character, like they showed in the second half against Stockport, like they showed it when it was down to nine men. That dressing room is buzzing at the minute in respect of the no man for man that he can go head to head against anyone, give a good account of themselves, and if we come out on top, great. You know, we're not always going to do it, but we will. We'll stick together, and that's a message right across from the us as coaches and staff into the players. The players are telling us how great they're feeling about themselves, and that'll turn, pretty soon that'll translate into results.
Well, Carl, Daz, thanks for joining us.
FC United manager Carl Margeson and first team coach Daz Lyons there, following FC's 3-3 draw with North Ferriby from Saturday afternoon. To hear now where that result leaves FC United in the league table, and for all the other results from a busy Saturday in the National League North, it's over to Marv Willers now for another edition of Marv's Sports Report.
Thank you, Cockers, and hello everybody, and welcome to another edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Draw for FC United sees FC stay third bottom in the league table, 5 points ahead of Ferriby, tied with second bottom Gainsborough and 1 point behind Boston and Nuneaton. A tad higher up the table, and Harrogate Town stretched their lead at the top to 3 points after they won 2-1 at the Tameside Stadium against Curzon Ashton. While second place Salford City, they were surprisingly beaten 3-2 at home by Leamington. Blyth Spartans are third after hammering Nuneaton Town 6-3 at Croft Park, while Blyth's northeast neighbours Spennymoor Town are fourth after they won 2-1 at struggling and managerless Southport. Elsewhere, and Kidderminster Harriers earned a point from their trip to inform Bradford Park Avenue, while New York City manager Martin Gray was able to celebrate a late 2-1 victory against third place Brackley Town in his opening game in charge at Booth and Crescent. Chorley moved into seventh spot after a 2-0 win against Alfreton Town, and Gainsborough Trinity followed up Tuesday's FA Cup win over Leamington by earning their first league win since the end of August, and only their third overall against Tamworth. Well done, Gainsborough. Telford United won 2-1 against Boston United, and Darlington almost got a victory against Stockport County, who equalised in added time at Blackwell Meadows. And that concludes this week's Marv Sports Report with me, Marv. Farewell.
Thanks, Marv. FC United return to club matters this week as FC travel to Shropshire to take on Telford United in the final qualifying round of this season's FA Cup. The address for the ground is the new Buckshead Stadium, Watling Street, Wellington, Telford, Shropshire, TF1-2TU. That's the new Buckshead Stadium, TF1-2TU. Kick-off on Saturday will be at 3pm. But as always, if you cannot make this match in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air on Saturday afternoon from 2:30pm on www.fcumradio.co.uk. To the women's team now, and on Sunday afternoon FC United return to Broadhurst Park to host Northwich Vixens in FC's third league match of the season. To hear if the Reds could maintain their 100% record, it's over to Ben and Paul now to find out.
Hello everybody and welcome to Sunday afternoon here on FCUM Radio. This is Women's Team Live, live from Broadhurst Park, as today we're bringing you live league coverage of FC United and Manchester's women's team against Northwich Vixens. I'm Ben, and over to my right-hand side here, we're joined by the welcome return of Stato Paul. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
And, we've not had Women's Team Live in ages.
It feels like a lifetime, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, it does to the listener.
Now, it feels like ages as well since FC United were in league action here at Broadhurst Park. They did have an away game last week at Liverpool Marshall Feds, and, the old FC United, it went away for a couple of weeks. It was back with a vengeance, wasn't it, last week in Liverpool?
Yeah, it was a dismantling of the league leaders, who had a good record until last week. They'd got 9 points from 4 games. We're kind of openly talking up the chances of promotion for themselves, and they fell behind within 2 minutes, and by half time the game was disappeared out of sight with nine goals on the board. So the second half was a little bit tighter because they stopped playing the offside and started playing the deep positioning, but it was a handsome 13-0 win.
Well, Northwich Vixens are playing in like an Argentinian-style kit. It's lovely. FC United playing in their customary red. I think we've got a new signing, haven't we, Paul?
Cara Fields is midfield, yeah. She's a very, very skilled player.
21 minutes gone, cross comes in, and that ball is over the line. Scrambled over the line there by Sullivan, who literally was a cross with a lot of fizz on it from Kirsty Chambers, and Northwich don't deal with it, and essentially Sullivan just... stomached it over the line.
Just bundled it over, really.
Yeah, 21 minutes close gone, range. And finally the deadlock is broken. McCarrick plays the ball to Foster forward to Sullivan, and again we spoke about the trio in midfield pulling the strings. It's certainly the case. Here's Foster now. Foster plays the ball to Chambers on this near touchline. Chambers now on the left foot, crosses that ball in, appeals for handball, ball breaks back to Chambers. Chambers now on the byline, plays the ball back on the edge of the box. Here Sullivan shoots. There's no stopping that one. 2-0, 23 minutes gone. Paul.
I think the word aplomb comes into that one. You think the finish? Very, very stylish finish.
And Foster gets the ball back, and it's now with Winters. Winters now. Over the halfway line, the pass goes to McCarrick. McCarrick now charging forward. Plays a lovely pass to Chambers. Chambers is one-on-one, shoots into the bottom corner. And, with 4 minutes left to play of this first half, that's more like it. Kirsty Chambers making it 3-0. Kirsty Chambers cuts that ball out, gets the ball to Hatcliffe. Hatcliffe plays the ball back to Sullivan, who plays it first time to Chambers. Chambers now heading to the byline near the corner flag. On the left-hand side, crosses the ball back to Sullivan. Can she get a hat-trick? She shoots.
Yes.
Into the top corner from the edge of the penalty box. And that is a hat-trick there for Fran Sullivan. Not bad at all.
Not bad first half work there. 4-0, 3 to Fran Sullivan.
Well, we're back underway, and that's almost the last bit of action. But Luke's here now. Luke's coming forward, plays the ball square to Sullivan. Ball breaks to Foster. Foster now back to Sullivan. Sullivan plays out to his left-hand side to Chambers. Chambers now back it goes infield to Foster. Foster lining up a shot. She shoots. It's deflected. And it's going to be a corner ball to FC United.
10th corner.
And we are into added time of this first half. 4-0 now if you're just joining us.
Completed passes, it's 244 plays, 50.
And I bet that's between three players.
Well,
most
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
Sullivan, Foster and McCarrick. Well, it's going to be Kirsty Chambers to take this corner. We are into added time in this first half. In it comes towards the back post. Beats everyone. It's not cleared though. Here's Foster with a shot. And well, that is Luke's there right on the goal line. Toe pokes it over the line. And that is 5-0. In the first 20 minutes, you've got to remember that Northwich were defending well. The goalkeeper was on it. And they've not really changed much. They're still defending well. It's just FC United have become a lot more effective. And here is Luke's now. Luke's heading towards the right-hand byline. Crosses this ball back towards Hatcliffe. It breaks to Sullivan. It shoots!
Oh.
And she thumps that into the top corner, right on the edge of the penalty box. And don't save those, really, do you?
No. pick the bones out of that.
Winters getting the ball to Chambers. Chambers plays the ball back to Fran Davis. Davis to Foster on the halfway line. Foster turns now. Foster plays the ball. Nice little turn there from Fields. Ball's overrun though. Second ball is picked up by McCarrick. McCarrick, Hatcliffe's pointing there where she wants the ball. McCarrick opts to go square instead. Here's Foster now bringing the ball through the middle. Nice little 1-2 there with Hatcliffe. Foster plays the ball out to the left-hand side to Chambers now. Chambers by the corner flag, crosses the ball in. It's along the deck. There's Sullivan with her fifth goal on the near post. And it's FC United and Manchester's seventh. Well, dominant display in the league.
You could say the ball should never have got that far. It wasn't the greatest of crosses, but it wasn't cut out. And credit Fran Sullivan for loitering deep in the box, just in case it did get there. And it did. And, of course, from that range, she's not going to miss.
Well, if anything, this is an advert for one up front, which I never thought we'd say on FC Radio.
I think I'm beginning to wonder whether there's a personal record for Fran Sullivan today, but...
What is the record, Paul, for goals in a game?
For FC's women?
Yes.
I think we're talking 7.
Right. Okay, so that's something to aim for. And, well, here's Hatcliffe now. One-on-one with the goalkeeper. Rounds the goalkeeper. It's going to get to Luke's. And Luke slots it in. And, well, what a start to this second half. 49 minutes gone. And, well, FC United 8-0 up. Well, it's 58 minutes gone here. 8-0 currently. And this is a free kick.
Up.
But it's going to be Sullivan to take this.
She's feeling lucky. It's definitely her day.
Well.
Oh, well.
Outside the penalty, 28 yards. And, well, Sullivan has belted it into the top corner. And, well.
Without any effort
without
whatsoever.
Without any effort from both her or the commentary team. And that is 9-0 on 58 minutes. Sullivan now with two hat-tricks. So 9-0 if you're just joining us with 25 minutes or so left to play at Broadhurst Park. You just know Luke is thinking to himself, I want double figures, I want double figures. It looks nice on a spreadsheet, I want
and
double figures.
He also wants another clean sheet at home.
That as well. And here's McCarrick now, a nice ball to Luke's. Luke's on the ball, comes in field with it from the left-hand side now. Mia Holden pointing, but Luke's continues a run and now on the right-hand side, still with the ball, still with the ball. And if that goes in, is one of the goals of the season right there. And it is only October. A fine solo run there from Yvette Luke's to make it double figures, Paul.
And that's the big 4-0 for the season.
40 goals in 3 matches.
40-0.
I've got a headache thinking about that. And the ball cleared, but there's Fliss Winters cutting that ball out. And here's Vias now on the halfway line. That's a pass gets to Luke's. Here's Luke's now. Luke's infield, she comes with it. Plays the ball forward to Fields. Fields, good first touch. Jones is there again. Good save once more from Jones. But Fields tries to win that ball back. And eventually it's just scrambled clear by Northwich. And there's Beth Tattersall. Tattersall does well. Ball breaks to Foster. Foster to Fields. Fields with a first-time ball over the top. Foster continues a run, charging forward. And that is legs 11 for FC United.
Roy Keane-esque, wasn't it, that?
How many
really
times
was.
Does she do that? Yeah. Where she just plays the ball, goes to the 1-2, and is determined to get on the second pass. Superb. Chambers now looking for runners. Comes in field with it instead. Plays it to Foster. Foster now on the edge of the box, plays it to Chambers. Chambers, who's onside, twists and turns and shoots. Top corner, 12-0, 75 minutes gone at Broadhurst Park. Kirsty Chambers there with an emphatic finish. referee doesn't want this game to end.
Well, again, we've had stoppages, to be fair.
Yeah. And, well, FC United back on the ball with Tattersall. Winters there does well. Winters plays a ball forward there to Foster. Foster's onside on the right-hand side. Is she going to have a dig? She does.
Oh, what a finish.
Into the far corner. And, well, that's what they call in the trade a cherry on the cake. And that is 13-0 to FC United.
I thought what was impressive there, it was 93rd minute. Three players fought for possession inside the Northwich half and won it back. And the desire was still there. And that's the end of the game.
So, full time here at Broadhurst Park. 13-0. FC United's third league game of the season, making it a goal difference now of plus 43 for FC United and Manchester women's team in three league matches. Certainly a statement here. And we have to remember, though, Paul, Northwich Vixens kept it 0-0 up until 21 minutes. But yeah, FC United have literally blown them away in the last 70 minutes or so.
Yeah. On a personal level, I make that 9 goals in 2 games for Fran Sullivan, which is pretty incredible for
six
a midfielder.
Six of them today, of course.
Yeah, 9 in 2 games for a midfielder. I mean, that's unheard of. Like we were saying earlier, Nicola Hatcliffe, playing centre-forward today, the one up front, has not scored any of those 13. But she's played a part in setting up a few. And again, it's such a strong team, all-round team performance.
I mean, this is what I was saying there. Fran Sullivan, we're obviously going to give player of the match to. I mean, you can't argue with 6 goals. That said, we have to remember, you win by 13 goals by scoring 1, 2, 3 and making your way up. So let's go back to the early stage of the game and the dominant display of Foster, McCarrick and Sullivan. It was like a trio in midfield who just nullified everything that Northwich had to offer. Northwich, how many shots have they had, Paul?
They didn't have a shot.
They didn't have a shot in the whole game.
No.
And the midfield has been the key this afternoon. We could talk about the great goals that have been scored by Chambers, by Foster, by Lukes, by Sullivan. But ultimately, it's built upon a solid foundation of the, especially Foster and McCarrick in midfield.
Yeah, I mean, the first key to it is winning the ball back. And we've done that so professionally this afternoon. And once you've won the ball back, then the options start opening up. And we've got the creativity in front of the players at the back to open it up. And you've got two wingers there that are devastating in terms of pace. I mean, it doesn't matter if Betat comes on, Lukes goes off or whatever. You've always got two wingers with pace who are prepared to run and make big inroads. You've got a target player in the middle there who's prepared to lay it off left and right. You've got runners coming in from the midfield. It's such a fluid game that they play. And it's very, very hard to stop.
It's relentless. It's relentless. It's cutthroat. And there's no let-up. And we saw that right on the edge of full-time there. We get a 13th. Why not?
And that's because they wanted they wanted to win that ball back so badly. Three of them went in for it. And the ball was won, transferred down the right-hand side. And, you know, we go back to Foster again, you know, who's played a very strong midfield game. And the composure she showed there, I mean, she kind of delayed the shot, didn't she? She could have hit it earlier and just paused and thought about it and then picked a spot and rattled it in the far corner. And that kind of sums up the composure that they show at times. You've got to feel sorry for Katie Jones, I have to say.
Let's for this Club is My Club listeners, coming up next is the post-match thoughts of manager Luke Podmore.
OK, I'm here with head coach Luke Podmore. Another terrific victory, another 13. We seem to be liking them this season.
Yeah, 13s I think are looking over this year. No, fantastic display from all over the pitch today, really. We were solid in every single department. Everybody knew their jobs, everybody did, you know, what they were supposed to do. And, you know, we're getting a little bit more exciting now. You know, we're trying things we might not have tried before, and it's paying off, yeah, with 13 goals and no response.
Yeah, and 6 by Fran Sullivan. A couple of absolute scorchers, but she contributed all over the pitch as well.
Yeah, I mean, not just the 6 goals, you know, Fran gives us a lot more than goals, but it's really nice to see that she's putting those chances away now where, you know, we're getting chances on the edge, in and around the edge of the box. She's finishing them and finishing them well as well. I think you'll agree with me when you looked at the goals she scored, you know, they're all top corners, bottom corners, and yeah, the confidence is there now. The whole team, it's going throughout the whole of the side, and I think you'll see even some of the subs that came on. Beth Tatman, she came on with fantastic confidence, and
yeah, terrific cross.
The way she was getting forward, I think it's you think everything's coming together now, and hopefully, like I say, we're peaking at the right time.
Yeah, normally it's Luke Greenall's assists that provide most of the goals. Kirsty did a fair share today, quite often to Fran.
Yeah, like I say, something we've been working on. So obviously Kirsty's been fantastic there, putting the balls in from the left, and you know, 9 times out of 10 it's found Fran and she's put it in the top corner. So you know, there's partnerships all over the pitch that are really coming together now, and obviously as you've seen, the new players that have come in this year are really starting to gel, and you can tell they're all on the same wavelength now, which is good for us going forward as well.
Yeah, no goals for Cara or Nicole today, but excellent contributions, and the way they were sort of like pulling people all over the pitch and making the room for the ones who did get the goals.
Yeah, we play an unselfish game, you know, that's what we say to them. There's people who are going to have to take one for the team, you know, they're dropping into spaces where there might not be an option on the ball, but they're drawing players out, and you know, at the end of the day, the 11, well, the 16 involved on the day is, you know, it's the result for everybody. It's not just a result for the people who score the goals, it's for everyone. So really pleasing to see that, you know, they're contributing in different ways.
Yeah, thankfully not too much action for Gemma and a badly damaged thumb today, and maybe not next week either, when we've got Stockport at home again, which should be an easy game on the books, of course, but you've always got to take every game seriously.
Yeah, well, you know, we never get complacent. We look to make sure we prepare for every game as we do for every other game. You know, it was good maybe that Gemma didn't have such a sort of an active game today. You know, it gives another week to really get herself sorted that, and I think it's 80% there now anyway, so I think next week we'll be fully ready for whatever comes you know, the other way.
And we had our other keeper on the sidelines, just still waiting international clearance from Canada. But it's always better to have backup, of course.
Absolutely, yeah. Chloe's, she's trained with us 3 or 4 times. She's a fantastic keeper. You know, a great option that we've got there. You know, to push Gemma as well, not just to sort of, you know, in case Gemma gets injured, it's to push her as well and to try and get that number one spot. Because at the end of the day, we've got competition all over the pitch. I think you'll agree with the players we've got coming back next week. We've got, you know, the Greenall's back, Chelsea's back fit now. We've got players coming back into the team that are big players. So it gives me a bit of a headache, but it's a headache I'd rather have than not have.
Yeah, of course, Jess Battle back available after her unfortunate ban. Yeah, so it's going to be quite a headache for you as to choose. It'd be pretty difficult to drop Fran the way she was playing.
Yeah.
But whoever's playing is going to be starring out there, I think. Everyone seems to be pushing all the way.
Yeah, and when we just try and pick the best team that we feel will do the job on that day, you know, and at the end of the day, we look on the bench and we've probably got, you know, like-for-like substitutes, and the roll-on, roll-off subs also helps us. It allows us to give everyone a game, you know, whereas last year it was 3 subs and 2 missed out every week. So, you know, that'll help keep everyone together for, you know, we're not just planning for this year, we're planning for the year after and the year after that. So keeping this group of players together now and really making them into a real team is my goal.
Right, well, let's just at least plan for next week. So Stockport County, back at home, 2 o'clock, Broaders Park, be there.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic to see you all, thank you.
So coming up next for FC United, we've got Stockport County here in the league. Then we've got that big Argyle Cup match in the main stadium against Penrith on the 22nd. Then we've got West Didsbury and Charlton here in the league, and then Curzon Ashton in the league. We've got an opportunity here to build something. I don't know how Liverpool Marshall Fed's got on against Crewe, but it doesn't matter anymore. The goal difference is blowing everyone away. But we need to get the 3 points and continue to get the 3 points.
I mean, if we keep getting 3 points a game, the goal difference will bite. We keep looking for who's going to be the threat this season. There's always a threat. And at the moment, it looks like Curzon Ashton. It's going to be very, very interesting.
But next up for FC United, it's Stockport County, and we'll have full coverage next week on Sunday from 2 o'clock here on fcumradio.co.uk. Congratulations to the women's team today. It's been absolutely ruthless, relentless. Special mention for, in my opinion, one of the best goalkeepers at this level, Katie Jones for Northwich Vixens. Tell us the stat right now, the number of chances FC United have had.
So it was 59 in all, 34 on target, 25 off target.
So if you
take off the 13 goals, plus 2 hitting the woodwork, that's 15. All the rest were saves.
Which goes to show you the quality. I've said it before, she's one of the best goalkeepers at this level. And I'm sure our goalkeeper's very good. We just don't know because we don't see it. It's
we have
amazing.
An unknown quantity in goal.
I feel like giving a player of the match to Gemma Jackson then for keeping herself occupied this afternoon. It's been an absolute dominant display by FC United. A big thank you for joining us this afternoon. Stato Paul, job well done, my friend. And we'll see you all on Saturday, live again for FC United against Telford in the FA Cup. But from everyone here at Broaders Park, farewell.
Ben and Sato Paul there from Sunday afternoon. And that's nearly it for this week's This Club Is My Club, but just a reminder that if you haven't yet registered a vote for FC United as part of the M&S Energy Fund, then please visit www.m&senergyfund.com. Voting closes on the 20th of October and every vote really does count. And that's about it for this week's show. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday at 9am and 12:30 on www.fcumradio.co.uk. And on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 PM on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.